You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Elliker Show. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming along for the ride. You're right. Okay, Teeny, that's enough. Teeny's still trying to win the Employee of the Week again. You can write to us at mynorthwest.com, although Andrew
it
says
that. It's no big deal.
Okay, whatever, Teeny. You can also text us at 1-888-973-5476. All of welcome. Boy, lots of news. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can we do 6 stories? Can we get them all done? What do you think? Can we?
I think we can try.
That's the winning attitude, Tommy.
It'll be first.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Mayor Bruce Harrell decides they're going to hire an outside investigation regarding the 4 charges that the Seattle Police Department females have brought against the. Let's see. Is it Sergeant O'Neill? Is he Sergeant? I can't remember. And then Adrian Diaz, the chief. This is some serious stuff. Don't forget, the Seattle Police Department want to do 30-30. They want to hire 30% of their staff to be women. Because let's make sure that we not hire the best, but let's hire mutable characteristics like genitals in order to determine we've got the best people working on the staff. But that aside, 4 women have all come forward and said, listen, there's been some really uncomfortable situations that we've been placed in. So the mayor decides he's going to bring in somebody from the outside to investigate this. Joe, we spoke to the attorney for the women yesterday. Did you get a chance to ask him whether or not this is unusual that an outside investigator would come in on this one?
I did. He said this is damage control 101. It's a non-factor in his case, and this is just what he expects them to do to cover their own butts.
Right, because the 4 women bringing charges against SPD filing a $5 million tort claim. So you bring in an outside group to say, look at this. This is, we just want to make sure that we're above board and as transparent as possible. Although this alleged abuse has been going on for a while. But they're bringing an outside investigator in. Okay?
Yes, the mayor apparently said, I take these recent allegations seriously and believe it is essential for public trust and confidence to commission an external independent review.
Yeah, there's a number of other cases. I know that Detective Cookie has filed a lawsuit alleging she's facing daily racism and gender discrimination. She's one of the 4, yeah. She's been on the force for 43 years. I've never met her, but I know big fans of hers. I know that she's involved with trying to get chess games set up there in the city and raising funds for that. My friend Mr. Boone was telling me about her. So she's part of the 4 and then the other ones that are out there. So as the attorney says for the women, this is just what they do. They're going through the motions on it. So we will continue to follow that one as it comes along. Maybe our buddy who... we had her on earlier that follows all the stories that he feels the media just drops the ball on. Maybe he's on that one as well. So we'll find out. By the way, the emergency slide comes off a plane. This is a Boeing plane. And as luck would have it, it washes up on the shore of the beachside house of a lawyer, but not just any lawyer, Sherry. Sherry, not just any lawyer.
It was
the
house of one of the attorneys that happened to be suing Boeing. Now, this one isn't the attorney that's suing for the people that were on the plane where the door flew off. This is a little bit different. This guy who lives in Bell Harbor, he's suing Boeing for the stockholders that he say has said that they bought stock between October 23rd, 2019 and 1/24, 2024, because he said that Boeing was laser focused on safety and that's why people bought the stock. But then on January 5th, that door blew off and they knew that it wasn't true anymore. So that's the kind of attorney that he is. But this emergency slide fell off the plane at JFK, and 2 days later it washed up on his property.
So the case is that they bought the stock they bought the stock at the price, and then when Boeing said, oh, we are going to be laser focused on security and safety, and then the stock dropped. So they're suing for the loss because the stock went down. They've
They're suing because Boeing's stock and trade at that point was their safety record. They talked about how safety was safety focused they were. Well, people bought the stock assuming that there weren't going to be any safety issues when, in fact, this happened and then the stock fell. So there, he's saying it was, you know, it was kind of false advertising.
Yeah, okay. Good luck on that one. That case isn't going to get anything. Because really, there's a whole bunch of different variables as to why the stock goes up or down. You're buying it. Maybe sometimes people take advantage. Oh, Boeing gets some bad news. The door blows off. The stock drops. You buy it when it's low because you know it's going to go back up again. So you take advantage of bad news when it comes to a stock buy. People tend to try to catch the falling knife when it comes to stocks. So they're saying their damages are that we false advertising by Boeing. So false meaning we were going to be laser focused, but then we decided, screw it. Let's let the wings fly off the thing because we don't care. Come on.
Well, I said false advertising, probably a misrepresentation of their safety protocol.
Oh, okay. You know, all the little music stings really add a little extra credibility to everything we say.
I like them, yeah.
Me too. The 9-year-old boy that runs a mile in the dark to save the lives of parents after tornado rips through their truck. I wonder how many 9-year-old boys. Was this in was Kansas or Oklahoma? What part
Oklahoma.
Of where was
Oklahoma.
This
kid's Oklahoma. Amazing.
Yeah. They grow them tough there in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
He's able to save a parent's lives running at night. The dark, he says.
Terrifying moments for Mother Nature of an EF4 tornado tearing through the town of Marietta. The Baker family finding themselves in the middle of that same tornado over 20 miles to the north in Dixon.
One of the most horrific things I've ever seen in my life.
Johnny Baker says his brother, wife, and nephew were all in this truck headed to a friend's storm shelter when the tornado threw the family into a pile of trees. The parents trapped, but their 9-year-old son, Branson Baker, was miraculously not hurt and was able to get out of the car and run to get help.
Dang, the only way he found his way back is lightning strike. Every time there's lightning strike, it would light up the road. So he ran as fast as he could, as hard as he could. He probably made a mile in 10 minutes, and that's pretty impressive for a little kid.
Branson ended up finding enough people to rescue his parents, Wayne and Lindy Baker. Mm. Now both recovering at OU Medical Center, suffering from broken necks, broken backs, hands, and ribs.
The last thing Branson told to him is, Mom, Dad, please don't die. I'll be back. It's the last thing he said to him.
The Bakers own a contracting business, now unable to work. So Branson's baseball team played a game last night, all wearing stickers of support for the family.
The Baker stickers put on the helmet helped give him a little bit of motivation as well. He actually hit a home run last night.
Johnny says he thinks his brother and wife will make a full recovery, thanking little Branson for his quick feet and strong faith.
My Superman was trapped when he talks about his dad. So he had to become his Superman and go do what he had to go do. And that's exactly what he said. He was like, I had to save my parents.
Wow. That's impressive.
That is a tough kid. Yep. And I mean, the injuries that they suffered, broken necks, broken backs. It's going to be a long recovery for the parents.
Yeah, what a great story for that little kid to tell his parents that and run out there. I would think that most kids would do something like that, right? Don't you think most kids would run to go get help somewhere if they knew which way to go?
Yes, because what's
the option? A couple
choices.
You could sit there in the truck and cry.
Yeah, right.
Right? Or you got to go do something. And, yeah, I would think that most kids would seek help from somebody. I don't take anything away from them, but I just want it. Most children in a situation like that would, I think, rather than just sort of sit there, because your only other option is just to, you know, wait and watch your parents suffer. So good for him as we're rolling through all of the stories. And finally, we talked to the people that had the alligator. Remember we were doing the story on most lovable pet? I think we interviewed somebody. Was it the alligator guy or is it a snake person? It was some unusual person we had.
I don't think it was Wally Gator's dad. I think it might have been, I think it was a snake person.
Yeah, because it was the most loved or most adorable pet. And you get all the different categories. And we thought, oh, they're going to pick some weird animal or something. So we called that person. It was, it was a goat. Come on, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was a woman. It was a cow. Oh, it was a cow.
A cow.
She had a cow. And we were fighting for her. I think the cow lost in like the fourth round or something. I ended up busting our bracket. A most lovable animal. So somebody can't find this guy. He's got this alligator that he loves, but somebody stole the alligator from him, or Wally Gator's
Hello,
gone.
My name's Joe Henney.
Hi,
the
Joe.
Alligator's dead.
Uh-huh.
Between 4:30 a.m. and 7 a.m., someone came in and stole Wally. He is missing. He was taken out of enclosure while we were visiting friends in Georgia. Okay. We need all the help we can get to bring my baby back.
Oh, my God. Oh, I knew he was going to cry. Sure, this is one for you because it's a detective and an animal lover. Wow.
And,
You're all over this guy.
The situation is weird. The guy that stole the alligator is a guy that likes to take alligators and dump them in people's backyards.
Okay.
He saw that the alligator was in the
pen. I would assume most guys that catch alligators would want to dump them in the backyard. They just think, what do you have two choices between, you know, just sitting there and crying with the alligator or dumping it in the back? Oh, that's about the 9-year-old. Hold on, Sherry. Hang on.
Please, we need your help. We need your help. He's no longer here, but we know he's nearby and he's supposed to be in somebody's house. There's a reward out for Wally's return safely with no questions asked. Please help us. Please.
I think you'd want to ask a few questions.
Well, wow. So this guy does this like as a prank, gets alligators, puts them in people's backyards. So the neighbors called and said, hey, there's an alligator in these people's backyards. Can you come and help us? So they had a person come out, a trapper, trapped Wally and put him in a swamp with a bunch of other alligators because that's where they...
not Wally Gator.
Yeah, that's where they dump him.
Oh,
and
no.
The guy told Wally's dad that he didn't think there was much chance of finding him. But remember, Wally is very domesticated. Wally's like a dog. He goes to rest homes and places where people can, you know, use him as a comfort animal. So I don't know how they're going to go about finding Wally in the midst of all the alligators. Maybe he has some.
We're talking Wally Gator, not just Wally, because there might be other people out there that are confusing Wally with Wally Gator.
Yeah.
But we're talking.
I'm sorry.
Wally
he and I, he let me call him just Wally, so I just decided I just used that name. But yes, Wally Gator.
Oof. And that's somebody's practical joke to steal alligators and then put them in people's backyards?
Yeah.
Find a better hobby than that. I mean, it's fairly unique.
But it's a little dangerous.
Kind of corner the market on that one. Yeah. So, like, out on a date, first date. So, what do you like to do? Do you like to, you know, do you play any sports? Yeah, well, it's kind of like a sport. Don't judge me, but I steal alligators and then release them in people's backyards. It's like, oh, my God, I really like this guy. I wonder if I could have a cut out of him like this person in this prison.
We're in
Hold
a prison
on.
Relationship. Of course I said I love you after 1 week of talking.
We're in a prison relationship. Of course he has my name tattooed on him 8 times.
We are in a prison relationship. Of course I'm going to ask you to three-way my Sally's girl for him.
We're in a prison relationship. Of course we got married after 7 months of talking.
We are in a prison relationship. Of course we were on love during lockup.
We're in a prison relationship. Of course I'm going to be his third baby mama.
We're in a prison relationship. Of course.
What is this crazy world?
What do they have to complete that sentence? Yes, we're in a prison relationship. Blank, blank, blank. Yes, we're.
Yeah. You haven't seen this. And this is also my life that I've wasted on Instagram. The person's like, yes, of course we live in Portland. We don't have kids. And then, of course, we go out and spend lots of money. And then, yeah, we're Portland people that don't have kids. You go back and forth, then you just fill in, like, whatever it is that, of course. You haven't seen any of this stuff?
We did. We covered it with the dinks
alligators?
Or whatever.
Dinks thing. So these people are, they're in a prison relationship.
I
so, of course.
You to answer after the first ring.
We're in a prison relationship. Of course he has my name tattooed on him 8 times.
You already said that. Of course we're in a prison relationship. I store all sorts of stuff in my in the cavities of my body and take it into him.
Of course we're in a prison relationship. We'll never touch each other.
I feel bad for this guy because she's clearly capitalizing on the novelty of the fact that she's got a guy in prison and she's blowing up on Instagram. But she's going to get some money and then she's going to leave him in there. He's doing 31.
I like that, Joe. I can tell you've done time because you put the word "the" in front of it. Still in the 31. Mm. Yeah, he's in for a nickel. Still on a nickel right now. From a nickel. Hard time. Cook it out on, yeah, TV. Good behavior.
Of course, we're in a prison relationship. That's why I'll never get old, because he won't see the real me because we just talk on the phone.
But she has a cutout of him, doesn't she? That she, like,
she does have a cutout, and they did get married in prison, so they did have at least one encounter with each other.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
So, just
how long is he in there for again, Joe?
31.
31. Oh, that's right. You don't have to say years. Just everybody. That's assumed. Yeah. Got it. All right. 31. Ba-ba-ba. We got a baseball game, and it gets delayed by weather. And used to be, I used to go to the Phillies, and when it starts to rain, the crew would come out there and drag a giant tarp across the field. Everybody would cheer, and then some guy would fall down and then get back up, and they'd cheer again. So, like, you're bored. You got nothing to look at, and then the crowd suddenly decides that somebody's kind of a hero out there on the field doing something. In this particular case, the game is delayed because a big swarm of bees swoops in, and it's been like a Jeannie Most story. Whatever happened to Jeannie Most? Where are all those? Remember her on CNN? Sure,
of course. We used to feature her regularly. I don't know. I haven't seen her.
I know.
Maybe she's.
Maybe she's not well, or I don't know what's going on. So the Dodgers, they got the Diamondbacks game yesterday, delayed for 2 hours. And Swarm Bees goes out there on the field. So then this guy, the team called him Matt Hilton of the Blue Sky Pest Control to relocate the bees. And he turned into a national celebrity overnight. Here's the story from CBS 5.
We had a beekeeper get a standing ovation tonight. That was not especially the story that I was planning on covering when I came to the game tonight. Just a wild scene. I had actually forgotten something in the car. I came back walking in right at when first pitch should have been. Nobody was on the field, and I was like, what is going on? Something new all the time in sports, especially in baseball, it seems like. But Matt Hilton of Blue Sky Pest Control is our guy who came in. He was at his son's T-ball game. He had just gotten there in surprise when he got a phone call saying, hey, we got this swarm, this colony of bees. Can you come in? He made the drive over, went up the scissor lift, smoked them out, and vacuumed the bees out. Only took him a couple of minutes once he got up there. And that's when he got a big ovation just when he walked on the field. And then an even bigger one when he was finished. He also, they kept him around to throw out the first pitch, what was really the second ceremonial first pitch of the night, some 2 hours after the original one.
I wonder who's going to play him in the made-for-TV movie.
taking care of the bees in front of all these people, now doing the first pitch, and then doing some media stuff after that. It got crazier and crazier as the night went on, for sure. The energy was palpable.
I'm not used to TikTok.
Because I don't go to a ton of games. I have been to a few games, but when it's pointed at you, it's a little more nerve-wracking. It was super cool, though. Yeah, I ate it up. Not going to lie.
Bees.
He did eat it up, and Matt told me that he believes they were out.
Okay.
Bees.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, they did release the bees from the vacuum into a safe place later. So no bees were killed in this exercise.
Here he is throwing in the first pitch, Sherry. Matt Hilton, a hero just a few hours ago.
And we are moments away from the start of our game.
You got to feel bad for the guy that was ready to throw in the first pitch, the ceremonial first pitch. Like, hey, Gary, what are you going to throw? Oh, I don't know. I'm just kind of nervous. I'm pretty excited, though. It's nice that they're doing this for me since my entire family, died in a bizarre grand piano accident. What are the guys out there for, right? And then they're like, hey, is it Gary? Yeah, am I ready to go? I've been warming up for weeks. Yeah, we're gonna put you on hold because this other guy came in and sucked up bees.
We would like to welcome our ceremonial first pitch guest. Our game time would not be possible.
What?
Who's this guy?
So, I do have an answer to your question.
Yeah, you know him as the bee guy. Yeah, what? Was so there somebody else?
That guy, the original first pitch, got to do it. But then that was right before the game started. But after he did the ceremonial first pitch and took the pictures, they realized they had a bee problem. So then it was 2 hours later before the game actually started. So they basically had two.
Yeah, and they made the most of it. Like, they put stuff up on the, I guess, on the video thing. Please be patient. And then they played the song "Let It Be."
Bees.
And then on X, they put, because they won. It was a 10-inning game, and they actually won the game. Can you believe it?
Okay. Yes. Three guys bees. Coming up with all those.
They were playing the Dodgers, so they had the beat LA thing too.
Okay, please.
Bees.
Our buddy Eitan, who's trying to set the world record of sending in the most amount of pitches, he's doing it for Make-A-Wish, and he's got them all, the major leagues, minor leagues and stuff. He's got the Mets coming up, Braves, and I've spoken to Kevin over at the Mariners, and he wrote me back, and he said, I think the dates that he's here in town, he might have somebody else scheduled, but I'll see what I can do. So if Eitan can get in there and throw in Seattle, he's going to be in Portland, I think the day before, with the Pickles. That's the name of that team, Sherry. And not you, Teeny. God. And then he comes up here, and then he goes up to Vancouver. But he's on track to try to break the world record of 50 ceremonial first pitches within Major League and Minor League Baseball. So we'll see how it goes for him.
I hope he can do.
By the way,
I hope that
if you're.
No, that's such a good cause. I really hope he gets to do this all over the place and meet his goals.
Oh, very supportive.
Yeah, he was saying, because there's been a lot of first pitches recently. There's a guy who was born without arms, and I think ABC did a whole story. David Murrow did a whole story on this guy. And I wrote to Eitan and said, look at this guy. He's pitching with his foot. He's like, gosh. Can't beat that one, right? And then someone else was throwing with their mouth or something. He's like, God, I just.
And now this guy with the bees. He's got a lot of competition. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got to have something else going on. But he's still soldiering on for the first pitch. Those first pitches used to be, it was just one. But then they have like a first pitch and a ceremonial first pitch and another first pitch. I remember a long time ago, I got into the auction business. I sold a first pitch at a Mariners game. It sold for $12,000. Somebody went out there. And then the guy was like, he said, I wasn't even like the real guy. I was just like the guy that threw the ball before the real guy did. So it was so many ceremonial pitches that, yeah, he said, I felt sort of silly because I really thought it was going to be me. And then like right after me, okay, get off the mound. There's somebody else coming up there.
Well, that's
doesn't
not
feel
fair.
Special, right?
Yeah,
not
well,
oh,
yeah. Yeah, she not special. She got a lot of them up there now. She got the bee guy.
I threw the pitch in for the Aqua Sox, and my kids were like, "Dad, a lot of people were booing. Did you hear them booing you? You don't hear the boos, not from the mound. You don't hear the boos.
The Aqua Sox, she."
What, are you guys doing a different show than I'm doing right now? What are you talking about? Aqua-shosh.
Sure,
yeah. Yeah, pork chops and applesauce.
Yeah, see.
By the way, if you want to find out, if we're going to talk to anybody that is in sort of that same, decade when you were, coming up and culture, you just slip into conversation somewhere, pork chops and applesauce.
That's from the Brady Bunch,
hey,
right?
Yeah, there you go. But if you get it's a demarcation line where like person's like, what are you talking about? Like, pork chops and applesauce, and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Do you remember what that was about, Sherry?
Absolutely. Peter was trying to be cool, I think, and he wanted to imitate James Cagney. Is that who it was? And
yes,
so
that's right. Jimmy Cagney,
So he went around and acted like it for a while, and then he asked Alice, "Hey, Alice, what's for dinner?" She says, "Pork chops and applesauce." Pork chops and applesauce. Yeah. Now, I believe she said pork chops, and then she said, and he said, "Anything else?"
Well,
or something. And
sure, this is really sad. I mean, it's one thing to know it, but that's really then the B camera cuts to Jan, and Jan has an expression on her face. Then back to his mother, which I believe was wearing a light blue dress at the time. Wow, Sherry.
Huh? I love that.
Get out of the house much?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah. It was a great show.
All right, quick. What did Mr. Brady find in Greg Brady's varsity jacket that did not belong to
Cigarettes.
Him?
Cigarettes.
Oh! And condoms. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. Here's Sherry Elliker with her favorite Wilcox Family Farm Eggs recipe. Sherry?
Well, thanks, John. I love Wilcox Family Farm eggs hard-boiled. And then after I crack open the shell, I put a little salt on them, and they are delicious.
Thank you, Sherry, for that stimulating Wilcox Family Farm Eggs recipe. Hard-boiled, a little bit of salt. Thanks, Sherry. Here comes the mailman now. You are the master of the hard-boiled egg.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Don't mess with me.
How is he rolling an egg or, you know, being the guy who's pushing
them
out?
There you go. Vote for me. I'm all with it. Sherry, what's for dinner?
What's for dinner?
Pork chops.
Pork chops.
What else? Applesauce?
Pork chops. And applesauce. And that's swell.
Well, the shot before a live studio audience that don't know what jokes are. That's the famous.
You got something stuck in your teeth.
Why do you say that?
Hi, honey. Home.
You say we're having pork chops and applesauce, yeah?
Hey.
That's swell.
We always forget the that swell. I didn't remember that. That's swell, she.
Okay, we could talk about it off the air, Sherry. But here goes the man. We'll get the letter of the day. First, take care of all the rest, Sherry.
Okay, off topic, unicycle Mike. I liked every video on the John and Sherry Instagram page. I'm your number one fan, LOL. John, you have so much joy and excitement in your posts. It makes me want to live like you live. I look up to you and admire you.
Well, get your own hair growing naturally, would you? And go to Longevity Medical Clinic. But first, Shelby and Olympia, breaking news out of North Bend, Washington. The zebra has been found in the trunk of a car.
This is RB in the 360 on Reggie Jackson prepaying fines. Yes. My dad had a cuss can at our house growing up. His friends would come by and throw in a 5 or 10 as soon as they got there to cover their visit.
Wally Gator in Paulsville. Guys, they don't know for sure who took Wally, so be careful about making broad allegations.
Like allegations? Alligator.
Okay. Sorry, Steve. The dyslexic read it and killed your joke. Okay. Here we go.
E from South Seattle. My dad had an alligator in the canal behind his house, and he would feed it pieces of food. Yes, he was crazy. He would whistle before tossing something out there, so the alligator learned to come to the whistle. Maybe Wally's dad should try calling him. He might recognize his voice. It's a good idea.
Oh, that's a lovely thought. Bear attacks missed the point, Elliot. If I were going to wrestle with a bear, I'd choose a Chicago bear. They don't beat anybody. And there you go. A little joke for you. High outside ball, too. Anyway, here we go.
206 said, did they say that man tried to shoot a grizzly with a 38? He might as well throw it at him. Literally, poor choice for bear country is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's the thing about gun people. They're always like, yeah, what are you crazy? 38. Poor guy gets his jaw eaten off. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, what do you expect? 38, come on now. 38P, maybe put the P in there. You know what that is? Sherry's got extra gunpowder on it. It's a people stopper. 38P. Oh. Remember 38P? Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, my.
Is it a bear stopper, okay, though?
Okay. Letter of the day. Teeny.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Oh, a poem.
Yes. This is from Vonnie in the 206. It's a zebra poem. I'm that zebra, and I've pulled quite a coup. I just couldn't see spending my life in a zoo. Yes, I'm easy to spot with the stripes that I've got, but fear not, kids, I know just what to do. I'll head to Seattle and pick up my pace, because even if they find me, the cops can't give chase.
Wonderful. Wow. It's beautiful. Thank you, Vonnie. That's lovely. Thank you, Vonnie. Does anybody else have a poem for us today? Should we just say namaste?
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write
anyone?
No.
Anyone else?
She
no?
Left all the gloom right. Hanging round my
okay, if you just want to spend some time in your mat, I understand. All right.